Greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Volume 60 of Highways and Byways, otherwise known as Church Out of the Box. But why is it called Out of the Box? That's a good question, and I'm glad I asked it. We call Highways and Byways Church Out of the Box for a lot of reasons, but mainly because I'm convinced that the Lord never intended us to spend our entire life singing dirges and eating worms. I may have to expand upon that later. Anyway, the book of Ecclesiastes lays it out quite clearly from chapter 3. Starting with verse 1 comes one of the classic passages that even non-believers can quote to varying degrees. There it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck up what's been planted. There's a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." You know, the passage continues with more examples, but we get the point. Right? There is a place and a time for talk, good, clean humor. There's a time for excellent music from independent artists that point us to the creator of the universe through song. There's a time for considering the debate between evolution and creation. And there's even a time to consider the time and the season that we're living in and consider something as simple as a road sign and how it relates to spiritual matters. So, we set out each time to do all of these things and more. Talk, music, humor, healthy debate, end times updates, road sign segments, and questions and comments that are called into the 24-hour voicemail line by drivers and other travelers. All of these things are designed to help people, just like you, become a little more connected to a God that really does want a personal relationship with you. Hard as it might seem for you to imagine, God really does like you, and He's not up there with a big stick waiting to whack you because you messed up. He just wants to restore you and me to a right standing with Him. It really is that simple. So whether you picked up a CD at one of the participating truck stop chapels, whether you downloaded it from the website, that would be highwaysandbyways.org, or perhaps you encountered one of the highway ministers, maybe at a fuel island or a diner or what have you, it's all the same to us. We're just trying to be a light of hope and encouragement to as many people as we possibly can. Because there's a time for sowing out, and there's a time for gathering in. Well, with our introduction out of the way, let's move on and see what time it is next. Welcome once again, my friend. I truly pray that you find this to be a blessing as you keep it all between the lines out there on the highways and the byways.
This is Scoop Walker and
Grillem for God.
We're here today with Andy Blunder, who stands out as a Christian.
Thanks, Scoop. That's Bolander.
Right. So tell us, Mr. Blunder, what makes you different?
Well, I just read my Bible and pray, Scoop.
Without using bumper stickers, people still know you're a Christian. Why?
Well, it's kind of amazing, Scoop, but every morning I read the Bible and pray to God, and God takes care of the rest.
Is it the church you go to, a certain Bible study you attend?
Well, those help, Scoop, but I find that prayer and the Bible really help me to get close to God.
Come on, Andy. What do you really do?
Well, I'm telling you, a prayer...
Andy, our listening audience really wants to know your secret.
Fine! I stick my feet in cold spaghetti and read the Bible and pray!
So that's the secret! Cold spaghetti!
And prayer in the Bible!
You heard it here first, folks!
No, I was joking!
To get close to God, Andy says cold spaghetti!
No, it's prayer in the Bible!
Get up in Jesus'
I want us to check in with Ken Ham from over at Answers in Genesis a little earlier than usual this time, because I've created some follow-up segments on why the Bible is true and reliable. I'll be looking for feedback to decide from there if it's something that you all like, if you want more of it, if it's useful, so forth and so on. So you'll call into the voicemail line and let me know about the new segment. But first, Ken's going to set the stage as he explains that we really can't scientifically prove that the Bible is God's Word. And then he tags that with a thought to the reality that many of our own modern clergy are struggling to believe it themselves. Did you ever imagine that someday you might need to help a clergyman believe that God's Word is true and reliable? I've experienced this more than once in my life. It's a problem that is growing, and the solution may well rest upon people just like you. To communicate why the Bible really is God's true and reliable Word, God used a band of fishermen and tax collectors to teach others. There's no reason that he won't use a truck driver. Well, let's give a listen to Ken Ham, and then I'll follow up with this first installment of a new segment that I mentioned here, designed to equip you with some very powerful reasons to communicate to anybody why we trust the Bible as true and reliable. Well, here's Ken to get us started.
The Bible. Can we prove its truth?
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry is building a major teaching center, the Creation Museum, near Cincinnati, Ohio. Well, Ken, I've always understood that a Christian has to accept God's Word by faith. Is it right, though, to say we can't prove the Bible?
Well, yes, it is right, in the sense that scientifically we can't prove anything ultimately in relation to the past. But it's important for people to understand that Christians don't have a blind faith acceptance of God's Word. You see, if the Bible's history concerning creation, the fall, Noah's flood, and the Tower of Babel are true, then this history should explain what we observe in the world around us. And it does, of course. For example, the flood makes sense of the fossils all over the earth. The Tower of Babel enables us to understand why there are different people groups who've descended from one man, Adam. And the fall of Adam and Eve makes sense of why there's death and suffering in this world. Not only this, but observational science confirms such interpretations. For example, the Human Genome Project found that from the study of genetics, all humans belong to one race, just as the Bible teaches. We can't prove the Bible's true, but we can confirm its truth using observational science. Christianity is not a blind faith. It's a logical and defensible faith.
Many pastors today simply don't really fully understand Christianity. For example, a Church of England report said that a significant number of clergy lack theological knowledge and skills despite several years of theological college. And you know, another study said that the British clergy lacked awareness of the implications of different interpretations of the Bible. And more alarming, though, was the statement that the majority is, in general, less grounded in knowledge of the Scriptures. You know, we've seen this alarming trend throughout the Christian church as a whole. Once the church unlocked the doors to the idea of millions of years and began reinterpreting Genesis, the foundations of Scripture and the gospel message began to crumble. And today, the compromise has become so great, even many pastors lack an understanding of all of Scripture. Sadly, we're also seeing the same trend of lack of biblical understanding amongst Christian leaders in America. We need the church leaders to return to the foundations of Genesis.
The church in England is having a difficulty comprehending how the Islamic faith is taking root there. To gain a better understanding, get our audio CD on Islam and the Christian faith. It's for your donation of any amount today. Call us toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. Or on the web, answersoffer.org.
Why do I believe the Bible is true and reliable? Well, here's a reason. Creation is made of particles, indiscernible to our eyes. It was not until the 19th century that scientists discovered that all visible matter consists of invisible elements. So what? Well, try Hebrews 11:3 on for size. There it clearly tells us, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You know, science is continually playing catch up with God's Word. It's sort of like a train trying to catch up with the tracks. Thousands of years before science knew it, the Bible had already revealed that all matter consists of invisible particles. The Bible is true and reliable.
Out here in the desert, it's an unforgiving land. The sun don't show no mercy on a hot and thirsty man. My soul cried out for water, but every teardrop fell in vain. Till I got down on my knees and called on He who made the rain. He who made the rain. Thunder, lightning knows His name. I stand in awe and wonder. He who made the rain. Some say that it's wonderful, and some say it's absurd. But He disturbs the comfortable, and He comforts the disturbed. People, I have been on both sides, and here I will remain.
Christian man, you're not supposed to offend people. Let me tell you, I rephrase that just a bit, my brothers and sisters. I am not allowed to maliciously offend people. I'm not allowed to think of myself better or superior or be a racist or be a bigot. That's absolutely true, and it's a beautiful part of my religious belief. But if you are offended by the truth, that's your problem. Obligation not to speak the truth because it might hurt your feelings, for crying out loud. The truth is supposed to hurt. That's how it lets you know you don't got it. I always speak the truth. That's all I got, for crying out loud. But this whole idea of oppressing enough, it's people hurting our feelings, is arbitrary. People just don't even have to have an argument anymore. They just say, you've hurt my feelings. You know how you stop political correctness? You stop doing it. Somebody says, you hurt my feelings, and you say, I don't care. Game over. I win. Because if they're offended by truth, that's not your obligation. Let me tell you something, how arbitrary it was. There was a school in Washington that wanted to celebrate Halloween for all their children. And so they said, come home, come back to elementary school, and wear all of your costumes. But, girls, you can't wear a costume dressed like a witch. Do you know why they didn't let them do that? Because there's a woman from the local Wicked chapter that was offended by the stereotype. Excuse me, but if you're getting offended because you're a witch, who cares? You should be. I read about you people. You go around poisoning apples. You try to throw Hansel and Gretel in an oven. You got warts all over yourself. You cast spells on people. You ride around on broomsticks. If anybody should be offended in this country, it's a witch. By the way, if I offend you and you're a witch, I don't know. Isn't there a potion for that? Maybe some rutabaga, some eye of newt, put it in a cauldron, drink it all up. Because I'm thinking, if you can think and control nature with incantations, you'd have bigger fish to fry than being offended by a six-year-old in striped socks and a pointed hat trying to score a Kit Kat bar at Halloween, you dork. Put a helmet on. Oh, but crying out loud, count your blessings. At least we stopped burning you at the stake, you big babies. Of course, in this day and age, there's probably some witch in the back going, that's not funny, I'm gone. Ah!
Ah! Yeah, well, because my parents would do, like, things that other people wouldn't do. Like, every night, we had to take communion. And, yeah, then I realized, he's just giving me NyQuil. So... I finally caught on. I was like, what about the bread? My dad was like, double up on the juice. God knows my heart. So my 12-year-old came to me last year, and he said, Dad, I want to learn the trombone. And normally I would have been like, trombone, you know, learn the guitar, the piano, something you can use later in life. I mean, you know, nothing against the trombone. But honestly, I mean, anybody ever been out camping, just sitting around a campfire? Oh, what a beautiful night. Hey, Chris, did you bring your trombone? Thought you'd never ask. What? When are you going to use that later in life? Honey, I can't get the baby to sleep. Okay. Hey, little fella. But I love my son, so I bought him a trombone. $1,200, by the way. $1,200. I'm not advocating it, but that's why people cuss. So, but I bought him this trombone, and he went to the school for a week, and he learned a song. I'm going to call it a song. I feel bad about lying. If it was a song, it had to be called, like, Who Punched the Moose in the Bladder? Because, oh. Even the dog was like, dude, you put me outside when I make noise like that. We have a dog. We're dog people. I know that everybody's like, you know, like, how many cat lovers out there? How many cat lovers? We have cat lovers, yeah. And then how many people have a brain in their head? The rest of you? I mean, I'm just kidding. I just don't get the cat thing. I do not get the cat thing. I don't. Because in the definition of a pet, something you can pet? I mean, what in the world? Here's my, like, if you go up to an animal and its first reaction is, I don't want that in my house. A dog, you don't even have to call the dog. It's always that you can just walk in the door and it's always like, oh, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you. Like, yeah, cool. I just stepped outside to see if it was raining, but thanks, you know. Cat, the only way you can get a cat to actually lay there for you to pet it is you got to pour Benadryl in its food. And then it won't even like it. It'd just be like, ah. Anyway, we got a dog, is the point. I don't know why I told you all that. We got a retired drug-sniffing dog because it was free, and do not do that either because I didn't even think about the fact we have a dog that spent its entire life sniffing drugs, and you can tell, too. Like, let his fur grow all shaggy, and wears a tie-dye collar, and he doesn't even bark right. He's all, like, rough, man. He voted for Obama. That's not a dig against Obama. That's not a dig against Obama. He was actually legally able to because Acorn registered him. So, the point is, my son brought this trombone home, and he played it, and at the end of the song, he just stopped. He's like, hey, Dad, did you recognize it? Normally, I would have made a joke. I'd been like, not his music, but I didn't do that, because if you're a father, you know what I'm talking about. I was like, oh, I'm so proud of you, and he's like, did you recognize it? And I didn't, but I didn't want to say play it again, because I didn't want him to play it again. Turns out it was the theme music to Jaws, and yeah, I was like, well, that was scarier than the movie. So I didn't even say that. I was so amazed that even though the music wasn't great, I was so proud of him, and I hugged him, and I just said, man, Coulter, I love you so much. And then he looked at me, and he's like, thanks, Dad. I actually learned two songs. I know. And normally, I would have made jokes, but I was like, he was like, do you want me to play it? And I was like, oh, man. No. I mean, I do, Coulter, but it is late, and it is time for you to take your communion. So,
hey, drivers, wouldn't it be pretty cool if a guy could get hold of a hat with the Highways and Byways logo on it? Maybe even had the web address stitched on there too, www.highwaysandbyways.org. Or how about a shirt with the Highways and Byways stitched on it? Whoa, what about a fleece pullover for spring? Heck, if we're going to imagine all this, why stop there? I can just see it now. An iron-on patch, so the person could just iron it on a shirt or a jacket that they already have. I can see it right now, literally. And that's because the Mercantile, that's the online shopping pages that Flash has put up on the website. Oh, that's our webmaster, Bruce, actually. Well, Bruce Phelps, not Bruce, actually. I mean, he is Bruce, actually. Oh, boy. This is getting away from me real quick. Anyways, Flash has put up some new items on the Mercantile part of the website. Now, the donate button is still there on the site, and some of you have started using that to help us out as we try to keep up with the requests for more and more Highways and Byways CDs. I can't tell you how much it touches my heart every time somebody helps us that way. But now you can help out and get a few things at the same time. The hats, shirts, and the patches are all in, and they're ready for ordering. They're under the apparel section. And there are some pretty nice, one-of-a-kind pottery and jewelry pieces in another area. They're great gifts to surprise somebody special with. They're handmade, one-of-a-kind items. And we just threw our hat over the fence with all of this. And, well, we didn't really throw the hat. You wouldn't want it if we started throwing it around on the ground. But we've made the leap to try to find more ways to generate support for Highways and Byways. Now, anyone that's been listening for even a short while knows that we give away Highways and Byways totally free. We've been doing it for 10 years. We have shipped them to truck stop chaplains for free. We've mailed individual CDs out to folks that request to be added to the mailing list freely. And we've made the audio archives from past volumes free to download on the website. And if you know us at all, you know that's not going to change. We will never make anybody pay for Highways and Byways. But if you don't want to download all those back issues for free, we'll do the work, we'll put them on a USB stick, and we'll send them out to you. And you'll find that that's available in the Mercantile as well. So please, check it out. Consider getting a shirt or a hat or maybe both. And know that you'll be helping us buy more CDs and postage stamps and mailers and ink, etc., 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 because that's what we're up to. Highways and Byways is really growing, and the demand for CDs? We're getting close to needing another CD printer, and we're going to need somebody else to get involved under Storyteller's direction. He's our director of distribution. He's the guy you got to go through if you want to become a highway minister. And I'll tell you a little more about that in a little while. For now, let's jump back into the second half of Volume 60. Thank you for helping, and I can't wait for the first time I run across somebody out on the road wearing a Highways and Byways hat or a shirt or something. Well, check it out. The website is www.highwaysandbyways.org. It's on the front of the CD.
Down every road, there's a turn in its place, rest of June. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through.
Hi, this is Ken Tyler with the Road Sign Offering. A lot of road signs out there, but what is the most common road sign of all? You can't hardly step out of your house without seeing this road sign. I'm thinking about the common, simple reflector we see every day. Reflectors help guide us down the road, sometimes on the center stripe or on exits. They help us to see hazards near the road, like mailboxes, utility poles, trees, or that Jersey barrier down the little highway. Now, I asked you, what does a reflector do? A reflector has no light of its own. All it does is just that, reflects the light that shines on it. The Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. And it goes on to say, he who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. Drivers, what kind of light are you reflecting? Are you reflecting the stress of the job, you know, traffic delays, delays at the customer, logbook, dispatchers, the list goes on? Or are you reflecting our Savior? Fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control. I encourage you, driver, to reflect God's love, guiding others on this road we call life. I know I need that encouragement from others. It feels good. Matthew says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Thank you very much.
Why do I believe the Bible is true and reliable? Well, here's a reason. Secular historians, that is, non-religious historians, have recorded the death and burial sites of the great religious leaders of the world. With no personal dog in the fight, they've simply recorded history as it happened. They tell us that Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith, is buried near the spot where he died, in the mansion of Baha'i. Buddha's body was cremated, and the relics were placed in monuments that can be seen to this very day. Hinduism has no single founder, so we don't have to worry about them. The grave of Confucius? Well, that's in his hometown of Kwafu, Shandong Province, China. Muhammad is buried in the Mosque of the Prophet in the city of Medina in Saudi Arabia. And Jesus? Well, it's not just my Bible that tells me the tomb of Jesus is empty. Secular history, while not acknowledging that the Father raised up the Son, does admit that the tomb was found empty. Even the Jewish religious leaders that demanded that Christ should be crucified did not dispute that empty tomb. They just claimed that the disciples came and stole the body in the middle of the night. Yep, that band of fishermen overpowered a Roman guard consisting of no less than 12 armed and highly trained soldiers. Amazingly, with no historical record of the account, no bloodshed, no casualties, and no witnesses. Out of all the major religious leaders the world has seen, only one tomb is empty. One person unaccounted for by those who do not believe. Jesus himself foretold of the three-day event, claiming that he would indeed rise again. The tomb is empty, and the Bible is true and reliable. A few other calls that have come into the voicemail line. A great call from a driver that makes a fantastic point as he shares an experience that he had out on the road, and he reminds us in the process just how easy it can be to pass on the good news of Jesus Christ.
Hey, this is Sean from California. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed listening to your latest CD. I just picked up
outside of St. Louis, Missouri, about 60 miles east on the 70. I guess the Christian Truckers Association, maybe. Anyway, I just picked it up there, and man, I've been listening to it, and I absolutely love it, man. And hopefully I can do something to help out, because I just really enjoyed it. Now I'm going through your archive. So anyway, I can't thank you enough for doing it. And I just wanted to tell you how someone evangelized me. I was brushing my teeth at the rest area here, and some guy was in there, and he said, "Oh boy, life on the road, huh?" And I said, "Oh yeah, you know, it's the glamour." And he said, "Hey, I got something maybe you might want to read." And he laid a tract on me about do good people go to heaven. And I just thought it was really smooth. You know, that's all it took. You know, life on the road, huh? You know, nothing more. It's real simple. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you, because I know I've heard your road evangelist or whatever, you know, how you have them do stuff like that. Anyway, thanks, guys.
This is my favorite part of Highways and Byways, hearing from drivers on the voicemail line and through the emails. We receive other calls that we don't include on the program because they are personal prayer requests. Unless somebody specifically asks that the prayer requests go out for everybody to hear and participate in, well, we'll just lift them up to the Lord as those requests come in otherwise. We want to maintain the privacy and confidentiality of everybody. And then there are those bad cell phone connection calls. They don't make it either. There are some good calls that we've not been able to post because the connection went bad somewhere in the process of the call. It might be a good idea to be sitting still if you're not in a larger town or city where the tower signal is going to remain strong. In any event, keep the calls coming in. Tell us where you came across Highways and Byways. Give us a report from the road about something cool that the Lord has done or is doing. Submit a Bible question or a spiritually related kind of question. It could be a question someone's hit you with that you'd like another way to respond to. You know, part of the vision with Highways and Byways has been that as new drivers and others connect with Highways and Byways, they would get involved in shaping future volumes. And it is happening. If you listen to the archives, you'll see what I mean. Folks calling in with really challenging questions, great testimonies. Some have even started calling into the voicemail line and submitting material for segments. I love this. We've had a couple of different people calling in with road signs thoughts for that segment. And as I said, a good line of challenging questions to stir up the pot. Now get involved. Call the 800 number, offer up a brief word of encouragement, an idea for a new segment for the program. Get involved, drivers, and don't worry about making miscues and mistakes. I edit everything, so you're allowed do-overs if you misspeak. We'll make you sound good enough. Now, I'm looking forward to hearing a whole bunch of new callers, along with the old standbys. This is a wide-open project. You decide the direction by the level of your participation, so call me. And by the way, there's a special track coming up in just a little while. It's specially for our highway ministers out there. Now, if you don't know what a highway minister is, you might want to listen in on this segment. Who knows? You might want to become a highway minister yourself. Why do I believe the Bible is true and reliable? Well, here's a reason. Creation is made of particles, indiscernible to our eyes. It was not until the 19th century that scientists discovered that all visible matter consists of invisible elements. So what? Well, try Hebrews 11:3 on for size. There it clearly tells us, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." You know, science is continually playing catch-up with God's Word. It's sort of like a train trying to catch up with the tracks. Thousands of years before science knew it, the Bible had already revealed that all matter consists of invisible particles. The Bible is true and reliable.
Faithful. worldview matters. And I'm not afraid. I'm not anti-animal. I'm pro-human. It's not people that care about animals that I care about. I think it's wonderful that people care about animals. What bothers me is people that think that animals and humans are equal. That's a problem. They'll actually say that they are equal and deserve rights. First off, you can't give a right to an animal. Why? Because a right is a philosophical concept based on the fact that you know you exist and know you can die. Animals aren't afraid to die. They're afraid of getting chased. It's instinct. They keep going to the watering hole. The guys come after them, chase them away. They keep coming back time after time. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know what's... The bones aren't a giveaway, apparently. They don't know what death is. Take a gun, stick it to a dog's head. It doesn't beg for its life. It licks it. He's simply an animal, but we must be humane to the animals. Humane from human. I need to treat them like a human. Why? We got whales that end up on our beach. We'll spend $1 million crawling back. One of us fall out in the ocean. Let's see. The whales eat us. Eat them back. They're used to it. It's their way. Honor their culture. But you see, people don't think that way because they don't understand, oh, we're all the same, and who are we to be speciesists? That's what they'll say, speciesists. It doesn't amaze me. I'm telling the people simply this. The very fact that we even talk about how we should treat animals proves we're better than they are, because I guarantee animals in the Serengeti right now, they ain't having this conversation. If it limps, it's lunch. That's how they play. You see, we care about people because we believe that people are intrinsically valuable if you're a theist, that God gave you value. See, the very people that we most care about, the children. Oh, we must help the children. If somebody hurts a child, we think you're the worst person, should be thrown in jail. How about the elderly? Somebody hurts an elderly person, we think you're the worst kind of person. Throw them in jail, throw away the key. Or the infirm. Anyone that's handicapped, if they're hurt, we think they should be thrown away. Think of that. Who do we most care about? The young, the old, the infirm, the same three categories animals choose when they go hunting. The young, because they're inexperienced. The old, because they're slow. The infirm, because they can't get away. They hate them. They have no desire to give them grace or mercy because they're just food. That's why we're better than they are. That's all I'm trying to say. It's not that hard to figure out. They don't want to give you any kind of information like that. They don't want to do anything like that. They just want to tell you not to do it. Oh, you can't do that. You must be careful. If you care so much about the animals, go into the animal kingdom and teach them to be nice to each other first. Will somebody please help these wildebeests? There's like 500 wildebeest, one cheetah, they all scatter. Teach them to organize. You're much heavier and bigger than this 500. Stop. Circle the cheetah. Dog pile on the cheetah. But what do? Oh, look, the cheetah's got old crippled Elmer. Whatever. Guess that makes more room at the water in the hole. That's the way they are. And then they get mad at people that hunt. Oh, you hunters, they can't stand you. We've got to stop the hunting. Ban the hunting. But they aren't even consistent. That's what bothers me about these people. They only care about the cute animals. Just the good-looking ones. Oh, the spotted owl is being harmed. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look out, they're hurting the harp seal, the harp seal. Oh, dolphins are getting caught in the tuna net. This is my favorite. Stop. Dolphins are getting caught in the tuna net. Dolphins are getting caught in the tuna net. Yeah? What about the tuna getting caught in the tuna net? Crazy about it. But tuna are fish, and fish are ugly. They never help the fish. People never chain themselves to a dock. Be kind to carp. Never happens. They don't care about the ugly ones. Yes, the dolphins are second to humans in intelligence. Really? Then tell the dolphins to go around. Who came up with this idea? They're so smart. I've seen dolphins at SeaWorld. They dance on their tail, bounce a ball in their nose, and go through flaming hoops of fire 5 shows a day, 7 days a week for a sardine. Hey, Brainiac, get a union. They don't like the fisher people. Can't stand you guys. No, we can't let this happen. We got to go after the hunters. The hunters. You see, that's all I'm saying. If you're going to go after hunters, you should go after the guys that catch fish. They're the most ruthless hunters I have ever seen. I mean, if I shoot it, it's dead. They'll catch this poor fish, battle it for 20 minutes, pull it out of its environment. It's suffocating. Meanwhile, I'm taking pictures, showing it out. Hey, look what I did. Hey, look what I did. Take sinking pliers, rip the hook out of its face, and then... throw them back. If I'm a fish, I'm thinking, what was that all about? Eat me. I got a big hole in my face now, thanks to you. I'm a freak. Gotta join some fish sideshow. Hi, I'm Blowhole. Honor their culture and eat them up. Cry it out loud. And they just love their fish, man. I moved down south, man. They love fishing down here. You all look. I've seen the fishing shows, man. Ooh, he's a fighter. Ooh, he's a fighter. He's a fighter. Look at him fight. He can fight. They don't like one verb. He's a fighter. Look at him fight. He can fight. He's a fighter. He's a fighter. If he can fight, look at him fight. Hey, he's really putting up a fight. thinking, hey, Duddy, get a thesaurus. I wrote in, they wrote back, dinosaurs are dead. But, what? Okay. I'm kidding, he couldn't read. But the thing is, they always catch fish and they're proud like they did something amazing. And especially with their lures, that's what they're proud of. Yeah, I'm using me a gigglybob. Got me a gigglybob! Using a gigglybob! It's always the same thing. It's a fake bug with a hook in it. They hit a hook in their food. Anybody would fall for that. I don't care how smart you are, man. Your mom makes you pancakes in the morning with a hook in it. You're going down, front row boy. He'll be eating away. Hey, mom. His mom will be at the griddle. He's a fighter. Putting up a fight. I want consistency in this country. You want to be an animal rights activist? You have that ability. You have that right. We've given it to you. It's not yours. I'm getting so tired of people saying, I have the right. I have the right. No, you've been given the right. And it can be taken away. The right's been given to a lot of bigger, stronger people than you. We need America to be those type of people again that are willing to die for the country, that are willing to stand up to tyranny and say, if we have to go by ourselves, we will. And let you know that you do not walk on the greatest country on earth. So I want to see all the animal rights activists caring about all of them. Just be consistent. Where's the bug rights activists? Where are the bug rights activists? Nobody cares about bugs. You know why? They're ugly. And stupid, I might add. They have no concept of windshields, do they, folks? Man, after all these years, they keep smashing into that windshield. They don't know it's there. They don't learn from their mistakes. You've never hit the rear end of a bug. They're never running away. They don't know what's there. Think of that. They don't know what's there. It's glass. And I got to give them credit. They're courageous. All they see is your big fat head coming at them at 80 miles an hour, and they're not backing down. Bring it on. Come on, you swelled head freak. Come on. And then they hit that glass that they didn't know was there. Come on. That's got to take you by surprise. Wait until the friends in bug heaven. How'd you die? I don't know. It's flying down the road and blew up. All the bug scientists trying to get to the bottom of it. Apparently some parts of the atmosphere appear to be more dense. They don't understand glass, and they can't learn because they're just bugs. You know, even if they're inside your car, they try to go up through the windshield. Come on, let's go over. Oh. Well, maybe if I go from over. Come on. They keep running. We get so frustrated, we try reasoning with bugs. Hey, hey, hey. Go out the window. You can go through. They don't know. And they don't get any stupider than flies. They've got to be the dumbest bug that ever was. Flies understand one concept. In. Open the door, what do they do? 50 of them. Close the door, they're right on top of that thing. Open it to let them out, what do they do? Oh, no. We're not falling for that again. They don't get it. They're bugs. So care about them. Love them. Yes, that's why I'm a vegetarian, because I don't want to kill animals. Well, really, you shouldn't be a vegetarian, because I guarantee in harvest, you're killing some bugs. You can't eat anything to be a true humanitarian. Don't live in a house. You've got to be over some kind of ground that's probably hurting some bugs and a mole or two. The only true way to care about animals as a human is to not exist. Eliminate yourself, and then you'll truly be a humanitarian.
Why do I believe the Bible is true and reliable? Well, here's a reason. Let's talk germs and hygiene for a moment. When dealing with disease, clothes and body should be washed under running water. This is common knowledge pretty much all around the world now. But for hundreds of years, people naively washed in standing water. Today, we recognize the need to wash away germs with fresh water. But God told the people about this in Leviticus 15:13. The word is translated in some Bibles as fresh water, but the Hebrew word is kay, which translates literally as the word running. So God was instructing people to cleanse with running water thousands and thousands of years ago. In fact, the sanitation industry was birthed over 3,500 years ago when God commanded his people to have a place outside the camp where they could relieve themselves. Read the instructions from Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 and 13, and you'll see that they were each to carry a shovel so that they could dig a hole, or a latrine, and cover their waste. So what, you say? Well, up until World War I, more soldiers died from disease than war itself, because they did not isolate human waste. But God had already taught us about this a long time ago. The Bible is true and reliable. I was talking with our director of distribution about a week ago. He told me that we now have over 40 highway ministers on the roster. I was almost without words, and I had to ask him to repeat it. We have doubled in a very, very short period of time. The last report I had from Storyteller was that we were up to 21, and now we're over 40. And I would love to have a conversation with each and every one of you individually, but time and logistics do not allow for that. So every highway minister will find an additional CD in this shipment of Volume 60. It's a word from me to you, and hopefully you'll hear my heart on a few things as we continue to see this outreach expand. So please, take some time as you travel down the road. Give some prayerful thought to what I have to share. If for some reason you don't find a special CD for highway ministers in your shipment, please call the distribution number or the 800 number. Let us know who you are. Thank you, and may God bless all that you set your heart and hands to do.
To be. Eventually, they won't have much of you at all in their theology. The walls are closing in on you. You cannot be contained at all. I don't want to make you small. I don't want to fit you in my pocket. A cross around my throat. 'Cause you brighter than the sun, you're closer than the tiny thoughts I have of you, but I could never fathom you. And oh, 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 oh. Broken moldings all around, broken people hit the ground when they discover that you're not here for our benefit. You love in spite of us. You use the least of us to prove the strong aren't really strong at all. And I don't want to make you small. You brighter than the sun. You're closer than the tiny thoughts I have of you. But I could never fathom you at all.
Well, storyteller called in with a thought or two about the things we experience as life goes on, and he puts forth a worthy topic for us to kick around for a few minutes. We're really not going to set the call up any more than that. We'll just hear what he has to share, and then I'll offer a few thoughts into the mix.
Hey, what? This is Storyteller. I was watching David Jeremiah talk to Joni Lamb, and he brought up Hebrews 12:6-8. And both of them talks about God's love for us and the fact that we're his kids, so he chastens us. When I was a kid, I remember going down the street, and if I got caught in the neighbor's apple tree, well, the neighbor got me first. And if I went home and crying, well, then my mom got me again for being chastened by the neighbor. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. There would probably be lawsuits all over the place because people don't feel the same way anymore. But the question is, how many of us out there get to be God's children and get put in positions where things are happening to us and maybe say, why God? When in actuality, God has allowed a chastening or a problem to present itself to us for us to learn from it. You know, I guess there, you go both ways with that, and because of those two scriptures, I'm going to have to take a look at my situation in life. Maybe there would be some drivers out there that hear this, can open a new door, because when God does that to us, we need to be trying to learn from it, in a way of what's happened.
This is a topic that could keep a small Bible study group busy for many, many weeks. But we don't have many weeks here, so I'm going to have to get down to the nitty-gritty pretty quickly. Let's start with the Bible reference itself, and maybe we'll even back up just a few verses for the big picture. We'll start at Hebrews 12, verse 5, and run down to verse 8. There in verse 5, it begins by saying, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" Now, let me say right off the bat, you could just insert daughters here. "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons or daughters? My son or daughter, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines everyone he loves and chastises every son and daughter whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons or daughters." So what I hear Storyteller challenging us with is that as we go through this life as Christians, as we experience the trials and tribulations of this life, we would do well to take some time for reflection. Since I'm always good for a 50-cent phrase, maybe we'll call it taking a personal inventory. But here's the challenge in all of this. How do we tell the difference between the times that God is disciplining us and the times that, well, it's just life? And then throw into the mix that there are times the enemy will shoot out a quiver full of those fiery darts at us. You know, the kind that are best deflected by putting up the whole armor of God upon ourselves, as Ephesians chapter 6 describes. How do we tell the difference? Well, I'm thinking that our ability to discern in these matters is directly in proportion to the total sum of our knowledge of God's Word, our knowledge of God's nature, and our ability to be 100% transparent with ourselves and others. So let's unpack just these three things, because that's about all we're going to have time for in this audio magazine venue. The first one, knowing God's Word. This is really the path to number two in our short list here, knowing God's nature. But there are nuggets of instruction and wisdom all throughout the Bible that instruct us in how to go about living a life that avoids serious trouble and consequences. Right now, I'm thinking about the 10 primary commandments given to the children of Israel. It's a good starting point. Love, serve, and worship only God. Have no other gods before Him. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet your neighbor's spouse. Honor your mom and dad so it goes well with you. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. You know, Jesus simplified this just a whole bunch by saying, if you love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, everything that's in you, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you have fulfilled the entire law. And Jesus was making it pretty clear that if you love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor, if you love them as yourself, you won't be coveting your neighbor's spouse. You will be honoring your mother and father. You won't take the Lord's name in vain. You'll have no other gods before Him. It makes good sense. Just fulfill those two, and you fulfill the entire law. But if you start wondering if your present negative circumstances are a result of God's chastisement, His discipline, well, maybe we start looking by looking back at the root or the beginning of whatever the circumstance may be that you're dealing with and ask ourselves, did I cross any lines? Did I forget to honor God in His decision? Or did I make a choice that did not demonstrate the same love and respect to someone else that I would want shown to me? It's not hard to figure out if we apply point number three. But before we get there, let's think a minute about what we know concerning God's nature. All three of these points come together to help us discern. Again, you know about God's nature or personality is directly connected to how well you know His Word, because He reveals tons of information about who He is, what He approves of, and what He does not approve of, as well as another ton of examples of how He responds when people cross the line. Now, Exodus 34:6 and Psalm 86:15 are just two of several places where God reveals this about His nature. Listen closely. He tells us, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In short, He's not up there with a big stick waiting to whack you because you made a mistake. His nature is not inclined to a short-fused response, even when we fail, even when we do cross a line. Now, there may still be consequences in the long run, but as we move into the third point here, if we're 100% transparent with ourselves and others, we know in our heart of hearts when we've fallen short, made a bad choice, or just out and out rebelled against what we know we should or shouldn't be doing. And why do we know it? Well, because Romans 2:15 and Hebrews chapter 8 both confirm that God has written His law upon each and every heart. It's in our spiritual DNA. So I don't think the dilemma really exists for the Christian that knows God's Word, knows God's nature, and is willing to be totally honest. So I think the problem of figuring out if God is disciplining us, or if this is an attack from the imps of hell, or maybe just part of living in an imperfect world where others who cross lines wind up negatively affecting us, all of that is really a problem for those who are far away from God to figure out, not wanting to know or understand. I believe those who are close to God and put these principles together really aren't going to have much of a hard time figuring out whether God is disciplining them or whether this is just life or if the imps of hell are attempting to bring attack against them. I leave this short discourse with this from God's Word as the basis for my diatribe. It's from Proverbs 4, verses 18 and 19, and there it says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full daylight. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they don't even know over what they stumble." It's time for the Speed Credits. Track 3, Marty Raybon with Get Up in Jesus' Name. Track 6 was He Who Made the Rain by Ken Holloway. Track 7, A Comedy Spot Number 1 by Brad Stein and Bob Smiley. Track 9, Road Signs from That Tanker Yanker Out of Texas, Ken Tyler. Track 11 was a song by Santos Doo-Wop called Praising the Night Away. Santos means holy, by the way. Track 14, Those Who Trust, an old favorite of mine by Waterdeep. Track 15, Comedy Spot Number 2 by Brad Stein as he talked about animal rights. Track 18, a song called Small by a gal named J.J. Heller. I like her a lot, think we're going to hear more from her. And those, my friend, are the speed credits. Here and there, throughout the course of this audio magazine, I have offered several short segments about why I believe the Bible is true and reliable. I want to leave you with the greatest evidence that can be obtained concerning the reliability of God's Word, the Bible. Throughout the pages of these 66 books that make up the Bible, there is a theme, a consistent message that says, the one who created us desires a relationship with us. The theme includes the truth that while God continually reaches out to reconcile our brokenness and bring peace to our chaos, we just keep running away, resisting and making excuses for not surrendering to the one that loves us so much. That's the theme. People with a sin nature and God with a holy nature. And rather than condemn us for our lack of holiness, He's made a way for us to share in His holiness. No effort of mine can fix the brokenness in my relationship with God. Only His grace, only His mercy, only His forgiveness. The Bible is so very reliable from every scientific, geological, anthropological, mathematical, and historical approach. But what has captured my intellectual attention the most is the piece that defies all understanding. My financial world can crumble. It has. My health can fade as I grow older. And it has. I can see little in this world to get excited about over my future in the flesh. But when I took the words that are recorded in the Bible concerning this free gift of God, this promised peace of God that one can find only through the Son of God, Jesus. Since that, I've been living a life that verifies every single word of every single book of the Bible. And that's because instead of calling out to God to make Himself real to me, I came to the place where I realized it wasn't about Him making Himself real to me. He did that when He created the world, spoke and fulfilled the prophecies of the Bible, revealed all those scientific facts long before men were capable of knowing about them. He's already done His part. Now, the truth is, it's not about Him making Himself real to us anymore. It's about us making ourselves real to Him. The Bible explains that we make ourselves real by talking to Jesus, asking Him to forgive our sins, acknowledging that His death on the cross was the acceptable sacrifice to Father God, asking Jesus to come into our heart and to make us a new creature, telling Him that we know we don't deserve His holiness, but we thank Him for imparting it to us. This is making yourself real to Him, just having an honest talk with the Creator of the universe. Why do I believe the Bible is true and reliable? Because the author has taken residence inside of my heart since I invited Him in, and His Holy Spirit bears witness to it all. Finally, that promised peace, the kind that passes every single ounce of earthly understanding. It is the anchor, the stabilizer in my life. The Bible is true and reliable because the author is true and reliable. He gave me that peace that calms angry seas. You don't need to know everything about God and the Bible right out of the box. You just need to know the author, I encourage you to invite Jesus to come into your heart. Accept His love, His forgiveness, and His peace into your life. Friend, if you do not have peace in your life, it's only because you do not have Jesus in your life. But there's a fix for that. Make yourself real to Him now. Then you too will understand why His word is true and reliable.